Good morning, everybody. So happy that you're here today. Tonight is our kickoff assembly for our small group ministry, so I want to strongly encourage you to be back tonight. If you've not yet joined up with one of our small groups, it's not too late. You can join any small group at any point, at any time, but the small groups are still in the process of forming, and you can sign up in one of the sheets out in the foyer today before you leave to join one of those groups. It's a great way to be able to connect with other believers here at the Maryville Church and to grow in your discipleship. And there's a schedule out there that you want to pick up that includes the location of all the small group meetings with a map and all the contact information and the schedule of the dates of all the meetings that you see on the back. Tonight's kickoff meeting, we'll begin at 6 p.m. right here in the auditorium. We'll have a brief devotional and receive some instructions, and then we'll separate into various places throughout the building with our small groups to plan what we're going to do in the small groups as far as the time of meeting and food arrangements, child care coordination, and all of those details will be sorted out tonight so that when we meet in the homes for our first in-home small group meeting next Sunday, everything will be ready to go, and we'll have a great meeting next Sunday. So I encourage you to be here at 6 p.m. Now, for small group facilitators and hosts, do not forget our leaders meeting tonight at 5:15 in room 202. So please don't miss that. We need as many, hopefully all of our facilitators and hosts will be available to be at that 5:15 meeting. If you can't be there, make sure someone, a representative from your group, is there for that meeting, because it's so vitally important that our 6 p.m. meeting go well for that planning. So hope that you'll do that today. Today I want us to talk in our sermon time together about the issue of how important that it is that we share togetherness and community in Christ. Our small group ministry is a great way to get plugged into the community of faith here at Maryville, but I want to impress on you today that if you've still not made the decision as to whether or not you want to be a part of a small group, or maybe you're kind of dubious about just how important that is, I want to really impress on you how that you desperately need to be connected in a meaningful way with other believers. Because after all, we're all better together. We need the unity that community can provide. And this morning I want to share that truth with you. Harvard University, 1938. Scientists began a long study of 268 sophomores that year. The study started then, but it continued for almost the next 80 years. And what they were trying to determine by studying those students is, what are the factors of life that will make your life happy? What are the things that you can do or not do in your life that will increase your level of contentment and happiness with life and also contribute to greater health? And do you know that after 80 years of study, with the leadership of that study being handed from one person to the next, they finally released the report. Are you ready to hear it? You want to know the secret? They discovered it. The secret to health and happiness in life. It's relationships. They found that the single greatest factor that contributed to greater longevity of life, greater happiness in life, were those people that had long-term warm relationships. You see, you and I need that. We were made that way. God designed us to need each other because life is better together. And you will, in fact, lead statistically, a longer life and a more contented and fulfilled life if you invest in deep, meaningful, and warm relationships with other people. In fact, the current director of the study, Robert Waldinger, said, when he released the results of this almost 80-year-long study, his conclusion was, loneliness kills. It is as powerful as smoking or alcoholism. That they found that the people that did not in the study invest in long-term warm relationships decreased their level of satisfaction with life, but also their lifespan. In fact, they found that involvement and investment in deep relationships were a greater contributing factor toward longevity of life, more so than having good cholesterol. It's a powerful, powerful idea. In fact, he gave a TED talk regarding the results of this study. You may have seen it online. It's a powerful presentation about what the study discovered. And in that talk, he said, "The good life is built with good relationships." You want to have a good life? Then you will make it a priority to invest in people. It'll give you more satisfaction and happiness in life than any amount of money you could make, any amount of possessions you could ever gather. More fame than the world could give would not give you the amount of satisfaction and happiness in life as in being very intentional in investing in other people. In fact, before I get to that next slide, let me mention the power of this. Some of you may have seen there's an article that was going around this week, and I noticed the article. It was about a 93-year-old gentleman who lost his lifelong wife. And at 93 years of age, he discovered the truth of how powerful that loneliness can be and how much that he needed other people in his life. And so after the death of his wife, this 93-year-old individual decided he was putting in a swimming pool at his house for all the neighborhood kids to come and swim in, because he needed to be around people. He knew the power of relationships. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't take a Harvard study for us to know this truth, because God revealed this to you and me long, long ago, all the way back at the very beginning when He first created man and woman. Actually, before woman even got on the scene, God looked at the Eden paradise that He had made for mankind to tend. And even in paradise, God said, when He looked on all creation and said, "It's all very good," there was one thing that was not good. It is not good to be alone. We are better together. And there is power in community. You're going to chase a lot of things in this life through the lifespan that you are blessed to live, to try to find things that will bring you happiness and fulfillment in your life. Some of you in this room will work yourself to the bone, thinking that by climbing the corporate ladder or by gaining notoriety and promotion at work or by gaining lots of financial gain, that you're going to find that happiness. And you're going to find, friend, when you come to the end of it all, it's been a dead-end road. Well, you're going to chase lots of things to try to find this happiness. But why not take the advice of somebody who's already been down every path, he's traveled every journey, and he came to the secret of it all. King Solomon was the wisest man who'd ever lived. He was blessed with wisdom miraculously by our Creator God. And he decided to write down a journal of his life and tell us every road he had traveled, every attempt he had made to try to find meaning in life. And today I want to share with you a brief passage from Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 8 through 12. It is there that he writes a parable that we should all take careful note of. "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth." Solomon says, let me tell you the story about a guy who was living life, working hard to try to find success and meaning and fulfillment in life. And he worked his fingers to the bone. He worked and toiled, and yet he did not find the contentment with life that he was looking for. He said, "For whom am I toiling?" the man says to himself. "And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." He was miserable with his life. Some of you this morning may can identify with that in a great way. You're just feeling miserable with life. and you think, what is this all for? Who am I working for? Why am I doing all of this? And still feel so empty. And then Solomon says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. In a church of this size, if you're not plugged in to meaningful relationships in a smaller way than this gathering, friend, you may fall down and there be no one there to pick you up. And you can blame it on the church. The church didn't check on me. The preacher didn't call me. No elder has been to visit me. And there may be some fault that we need to take, and we may need to own up to for that. But let me just tell you, in a gathering of people this size, it is difficult for leadership to stay connected to and aware of where everybody is in their life. And so I want to challenge you not to in any way dismiss the responsibility that I or the elders or the deacons or anyone else have, because we do have a responsibility. But I want to challenge you, friend, that if you want somebody to be there to pick you up when you fall, get connected in meaningful ways in smaller groups of people in this church. Because, as Solomon would say, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? I want you to think about this not just in terms of a cold wintry night with no quilts or covers, but think of it in terms of relational warmth. Many of us are out in the cold relationally. We feel isolated. We feel alone. How are you going to be warm if you are not connected to other people? And so I want to encourage you to make that effort. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. If I pulled out a playing card for you this morning, which I meant to bring and forgot it, if I brought out a playing card and I then asked one of you to come up and say, I want you to tear this playing card in two, none of you would have a problem tearing one playing card in half. But if I were to hand you the entire deck and say, now here, keep this together and tear that in half, nobody in here could. There is strength because we're better together. When people are together and in relationship, there is strength to be found. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So here's the point that I'm trying to make to you this morning, is that we need you, but let me say this. Before that, you need us. You need us. We need each other. And not only do you have that intuitive awareness within you. You were made that way. You know it's not good that you should be alone. You know that there's strength and we're better together. You know the truth of that Harvard study. It didn't take an 80-year-long study for you to realize how true that is. You know you need other people. But I want to say also that we need you. We need you. In what sense do we need you? We need you in the sense of this video that I want to share with you now. It's about a 3-minute video that impresses, because I saw this several years ago. It's an Amber Alert. That's what it is. See, we need each other. We got to watch out for each other. We don't want anybody getting lost. Not only do you need us, but we need you. I saw this video. Francis Chan, several years ago, brought this lesson. It's about a 3-minute clip that I want to show you, and I just can't say it better than he says it, that demonstrates just how important it is that you be intentional about getting connected with other believers, because we need you for that. Let's look at it.
Here's the thing. And I'm not trying to be prophetic right now. I'm just using my logic. And I'm going, I think the way the world is going, the way the U.S. is going, I think there's going to come a time, and it's probably going to be sooner than later, when what I do in a public forum is going to be labeled as a hate crime. Of leadership in this type of movement, I go, it could be the Lord preparing us for the future. And it's pretty exciting to be a part of that. And I hope you get excited about that. And I hope you go, okay, what would it look like for me? And am I this leader? Am I making a disciple? Because regardless, biblically, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
So you see, that's why we need each other. We need each other because we have got to learn to grow together. And we do. But we have to flourish in that. And by getting together in smaller groups, in homes, we're preparing ourselves. I don't know what the future is going to hold. But it's a great place in a small group to be talking out your faith with other believers and growing stronger together in that kind of environment. This is where the church grows strong from within. And so you see, why is community important? Because you need us. But it's also important because we need you. Now, let me just be real blunt and honest. If you were to move to a new community, you might move to a new community and that community not have anything that you really want out of a community. You might move from one community where they have a tremendous green belt system. And they have lots of gyms that you can go to and work out in, and you like that. And there's lots of walking trails. And then you might move from a place like this to another place in the country where there's not a green belt system. There's no walking trails. There's not even a gym you can go to. And you could be so frustrated and say, this community is just terrible compared to where I used to come from. But I'm going to tell you, whether it's moving to a new community or whether it's moving to a new church or whether it's joining a new group, you will find what you are looking for. If you're looking for what's not there, guess what? You're going to find it. You want to find stuff that's horrible about this church? Let me tell you, look for it, you'll find it. But you want to find stuff that's great? Look for it, and you'll find it. What are you looking for? So when you go to your small group, you might go to a group and you say, you know what, I'm just not connecting with those people. They're just not, I don't know, you know, I go in and I'm kind of, it's just not working. Well, you know what, human relationships are complex. There's chemistry there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I would encourage you to find a group where you feel connected, that might take a time or two, but find a group you get connected to. All our groups are always open. You can go to any group anytime you want to go to them. Find a group you connect to. But I would say this too. Don't go to a group and don't go to a church just saying, what am I going to get out of it? Go to the church, go to your small group saying, what am I going to give to it? What am I going to do to contribute to make this church even better than it is? What am I going to do to contribute to make my small group go to that deeper level of intimacy and depth spiritually? Am I going to go to a small group and say all they do is just eat and socialize? They don't even talk about anything spiritual. I don't even know why I go to the group. Well, go to the group and try to help bring something spiritual and insightful to the group. Or you may go to a group and say, man, they're always up in theology, up in all this deep stuff all the time, and there's just, we don't ever really get anything personal out of it. We don't really talk about real life. Well, go to the group to give that. Be vulnerable. Be willing to share. Go out on a limb and talk about what real Christian living is about, maybe what you're wrestling with or what you need prayer for. Don't go to the group just to get something. Go to the group thinking, what am I going to contribute? Don't be a consumer, be a contributor. And if you will, you'll find that life is better together. Do you know, I was reading this week, some of you have heard, preachers have used this illustration for years, some of you have heard it, some of you haven't, but I researched it this week and I read an article on National Geographic's website where they were talking about birds that fly in a V formation, like Canadian geese. Scientists for years have been discovering this odd phenomenon in nature when birds like these geese fly in this V formation as to why they might do that. And you know that they have discovered that these birds, when they flap their wings, create this uplift that makes it easier for the bird behind to be able to fly, and that these birds can fly, some say, 71% further distances when they fly together. And when the lead bird begins to get tired, he moves back in formation and another takes his place. And you know, all those geese are honking together. They're encouraging the lead bird to keep going. And when one drops out of formation and one maybe gets wounded and falls to the ground, two other birds drop out and stay with the bird until the bird is either healed or till the bird passes away, and then they move on. You know why? Because these birds, if you got the sense that God gave a bird, you should know life is better together. And we need each other. We need the unity. We'll fly further. We'll do greater things. We'll experience more satisfaction in life. And the church will thrive if we'll fly together. We want to encourage you today to join a flock and really be involved and plugged in. You got an opportunity to do that today. Small groups is a place to start. We have 16 groups that are going to meet in homes. We have a group that's going to meet right here. For those that this is more convenient for you. So there's no excuse to not be plugged into a smaller group of believers and find how life can be so much better when we're in it together. One of the ways that our togetherness helps us is that we're able to encourage each other to make better life decisions and to pursue our faith in Christ. And so today, as I end the sermon, I want to offer a word of encouragement for those of you that maybe have not been plugged into Christian community to make today the day that you make that a priority. And the first way to really get plugged in is to be a part of the body of Christ. And the way you become a part of the body of Christ is by dying to yourself, choosing to put Christ first, and being crucified with Christ in baptism. And in repentance, choosing to embrace a life of being all in for Jesus. If today that's the decision you want to make, or if you need a personalized Bible study to ask more questions about what that looks like, or maybe you just need prayers of encouragement from the gathering here or from a smaller group with our church leaders, the shepherds of this church in the library, they offer an opportunity right now for private individual prayer. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand together and sing.